Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, you want that to go?
Time for takeouts on stories you're following this week. Yesterday was tax day. And in fact, when I went to the post office, John, the big line. No, actually, she said there was a ton of people filing extensions.
Really?
Yeah, this year. But, you know, one person who got his taxes in on time, President Obama. That's probably no surprise. He seems like an on-time kind of guy. Tax consultant Alan Dlugasz joined us yesterday. He said you can tell a lot about a person's personality and their life by looking at their taxes. Here's what he had to say about the president.
It doesn't seem that he has a very complicated life, certainly not a complicated business life at all. He's not somebody who seems to be getting involved in lots of different things. It's a very narrow, clean return, and that tells you something about, I think, the kind of person that he is.
We're joined now by Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. So you looked over the president's tax return, Todd.
Yes, I did. Good morning, Celeste.
What did you take away from it?
That Barack Obama is rich. What else can you take away from it? He made $5.5 million last year.
Well, you know, on the
rich
best-selling author.
But yeah. I mean, that's a lot of money. But I mean, when I think about rich people, I think about, you know, Steve Jobs.
Not, yeah, he's
Oprah.
Not Bill Gates. Yeah, he's not Bill Gates rich. True,
yeah.
But I think to most of us, $5.5 million is a good chunk of change.
I could spend that.
Yeah, well, I could too, and it doesn't look like they're spending a whole lot of money right now. I mean, when you live in the White House, the taxpayers foot the bill for most things. He does pay for those burger runs when they go in the motorcade off to raise
Hellberger. Well, he gets how much for his presidential salary?
$400,000.
Okay, and then where's the rest of the money coming from?
The rest is coming from book sales. They don't delineate very well between Audacity of Hope versus Dreams of My Father, but. But $5.5 million is the annual gross adjusted income for both the Obamas. They paid $1.8 million in tax, federal income tax, and $187,000 Illinois and local tax.
And he's quite the donator to charity.
Yeah, $329,000 to various charities that the Obamas have listed off. There's a whole bunch, $10,000 to Greater New Orleans Foundation, Habitat for Humanity. CARE got $50,000 from the Obamas. I'm actually looking on the item 9 on their charity schedule right now as I say this. National MS Society, $15,000. Now, this might be a little bit confusing to some people, Celeste, because they say, well, what about the Nobel Prize? Isn't that worth like $1 million? And you said they only gave $329,000 to charity. What they did with the Nobel Prize money, which was $1.4 million, was wrote to the Nobel Committee and said, please sign checks over or wire transfers over directly to this other list of charities that we want to give the money to. So that money actually never siphoned through the Obamas' accounts.
His tax consultant would have said, take the money and then donate it because you'll get a bigger tax break.
Right. That also might have looked a little shady, or maybe it was too much work with all the income the Obamas had. I don't know. But they decided just to pass it on straight to the United Negro College Fund, to Fisher House, and some other charities.
Either way, they're doing okay.
Todd, before you go, you were bugging them at the White House about whether Obama checked what he actually checked on his census form.
Right.
Did you ever find out what he checked, what race he checked?
African-American and black. Those are the two boxes Barack Obama checked.
So you avoided Negro. You avoided, I mean, he actually did check, but that's so interesting.
Todd Zwillick is our Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks, Todd.
Coming up, Ibrahim Abdelmateen, the NBA playoffs. It's sort of the second season in professional basketball. How do you shake out the playoffs at this point, Ibrahim?
Well, okay, so it's the Eastern Conference versus the Western Conference. And let's start with the Eastern Conference.
Which is not favored ever.
Right. Well, this year they're favored because we have the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're the team to beat. The big question right now that's going into this, this is day 76 of the LeBron James watch. So 76 days from now, LeBron James will have to make a decision about where he's going to go play, potentially, because he could play anywhere in the league, whoever has the money. But the reason why that's a big deal is because they surrounded him with a bunch of veteran role players, Shaquille O'Neal, a veteran group of players that came around him to say, hey, LeBron, we're going to get you a championship. You're the guy. We're going to make this happen. The other people in the East, the Celtics, of course, they have a, if they don't do it this year, they're done.
Right.
Their team is going to implode. And then you also have the Orlando Magic, who made it to the finals last year. And I really like the Magic team. They got rid of some parts, but they added some parts this year. And they are the only team in the NBA that has beaten every other team this season.
Oh, that's really interesting. What about the West?
So in the West, obviously, it's the Lakers are the front runner.
But then what Kobe Bryant says, we're the underdog.
Well, the part of the reason why he's saying that the underdog, they dealt with a lot of adversity. You could call it adversity, or you could just call it drama in Tinseltown. Kobe Bryant's busted up and sprained his fingers. He's got a sprained ankle right now. He's fading. This is Kobe Bryant. He's been in the league since he was 18, 19 years old. He's fading. He's not the same Kobe Bryant that we've always thought he was. And I think the team hasn't been 100% all season. So the question is, with Phil Jackson potentially going to leave, are they going to have enough in the tank to make a run and a push at the end of the season? They're
the defending champions.
Correct.
So it would be a repeat.
Indeed, it would be. But I don't know if they have what it takes. The Spurs are clipping at the heels. Then you also have the Nuggets. There's a lot of teams in the West that could compete.
And there's this Oklahoma City team.
Which I love, Oklahoma City. And that's where, when you get into matchups in the first round, you have the Oklahoma City versus the Lakers. The Lakers could get upset. It could be like college basketball
really?
This
They're
year.
They're such a young team.
They're
out of
young,
Oklahoma.
But Kevin Durant, as you were saying earlier, but Kevin Durant gets calls and he scores. He became the youngest player, younger than Bob McAdoo, to win the scoring title. Under age 22, he is the future of the NBA. Forget LeBron, forget Kobe. Kevin Durant is the real deal, and he could take that. And in the East,
and there's a lot of sentiment for him making it deep into the playoffs, wouldn't you say?
I would agree 100%, yeah. Because, I mean, there's something about Kevin Durant, his style of play, and that young team. They're a team of the future.
So you're going to make a prediction here?
I think Cleveland's going to win it. I think
Cleveland's going to win it.
I think Cleveland has the tools.
This is LeBron's year.
I think it's LeBron's year. And then
he goes to the...
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? He always says he's not from Cleveland. He's from Akron. So he can make any decision he wants.
All right. Well, a lot of people in New York are wondering what that decision is going to be. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. Coming up, adoptions in Russia because of one decision by an American mom.